Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
All right, they all got the pie charts up. Only 2 more hours to go till the great debate in Las Vegas, and then only 1.5 years till the election. I have never in my life seen a bigger, I don't know what, dog and pony show, farce. Farce is the correct word. This is a farce. So much will happen between now and the election that these stooge show debates, they're meaningless. They're made only for television, only for the cable news business. Nobody I know has watched any of them. They're far too busy making a living. But that doesn't stop the cable news networks from running these debates. I don't have anything to say about it. 28 million people cannot be wrong. There used to be a phrase, 50 million Frenchmen can't be wrong. I will say 28 million savages and savagettes cannot be wrong. That's right. On my little website, which doesn't exist, just as this radio show does not exist, since it is not, it's the unmentionable radio show. It is the secret gorilla in the room of every discussion to do with politics. It's the embarrassing fact that the Savage Nation will determine the outcome of the next election. We passed the 28 million vote mark, and Giuliani will not meet you on this show. Now, you know why he will only go on Wallbanger or the Leprechaun show, because they'll ask him softball questions. And I don't blame him. I wouldn't want to come on the show either. But that's to his detriment. I mean, what can I ask that hasn't been asked of him? The same with the others. 28 million of you have gone on to michaelsavage.com and said, that's pretty amazing. You know, leave radio and run for office. You know what? It's starting to sound interesting. It really is. Now, I don't know what might happen. I'm afraid it would only throw the election to the Democrats, which is what I'm worried about. I have to wait and see if any of the Republicans become conservative enough for me. Thus far, no. Now, we've gone from Bibles to one-night stand kits in only one generation. Have you heard about this? That's right. We've gone from Bibles in hotels to one-night stand kits in hotels in only one generation. Hotels are replacing Bibles with the new intimacy kits. They're removing Bibles from guest rooms, hotel chains are, and they're putting in kits such as the one-night stand package as well as the romance concierge personnel to their offerings in Newsweek. Now, tens of thousands of Americans are protesting the trend. However, you know where that'll go. That's just laughed out of the ballpark. Because the fact of the matter is they're already pumping pornography into the hotel room. So why shouldn't they add condoms? And why shouldn't they burn the religious materials? The fact is that religious materials are part of the old America. And the new America has replaced the Bible with a condom. And that's the new America. That's right. The new America after Bill Clinton's destruction of morality. He single-handedly destroyed the morality of America. He turned young girls into fellators. One generation, one man. You know that one man can destroy a nation and one man can save a nation? Did you know that? You didn't know that. That's why there are statues. There are no Bibles in most of the trendy rooms of the trendy hotels in Manhattan. Although they have iPod docking stations, flat screen TVs, and a goldfish. Some of the more degenerate hotels, which specialize in small rooms with minimalist furniture at very high prices, give you intimacy kits with condoms in the minibar. While one of the hotels supplies a free condom in each bathroom. Isn't that charming? That is so Dutch. I guess you could say they're going Dutch over there. So I have nothing to say. We've gone from Bibles and hotels to one-night stand kits in only one generation. I don't know what to say. I'm just at a loss what to say. You think I care about the debate? I don't. Now, I know why everyone, it's going to be very, very, very widely watched tonight for one reason. And that reason is because everyone's waiting to see if Hillary is going to fight back or fall on her derriere, her substantial derriere. I only wish that we could take frontal shots of them, posterior shots without the, that would sink her campaign faster than anything. The Bartlett pair, nobody wants a Bartlett pair-like woman for president. If she was a babe, I don't care if she's 55, 60. But the minute they see that Bartlett pair look, that's it, it's over. Nobody wants the draped Bartlett pair as president. I'm telling you right now, in every shot, you think that I'm joking with you. You understand that looks have a lot to do with winning an election. You know that. But all right, what's the point of talking to you? You don't listen to me anyway, talking to myself. I'm out of personal stories. I ran through them all this week. What did I do this week? I did Louis, the alcoholic and the monkey. Remember that great story? I did the medicinally horrible breath of one-armed Frank. That was good. Beowulf, what else did I do? I did four personal stories this week. There are none left in me. The tank is empty. I have to go out into the world to generate new stories, and I'm not going out anymore. Oh, okay, I have a new one. No, there's nothing happened. It was normal. I went to a little dinner last night, and it was so nice that I have nothing to say. See, if things go well, what are you going to report on? The fish was good. The company was polite. No, so you have to have something happen in order to tell a story. 1-800-449-8255. It looks like our attack on Iran is over. The talk of attacking Iran is now dead in the water. That's correct. The State Department wimps have won out over the Defense Department machismo. Muslim who worked for the CIA and the FBI was a spy. That's right. Well, but the FBI and the CIA, you got to understand, their primary mission is not protecting America. Their primary mission is to put out press releases that make them look diverse. They must look diverse. The important thing is that the ACLU, the pockmarked pervert who runs the ACLU, doesn't get nervous. The important thing is that these agencies don't look too white and too bright. They have to look diverse. The important thing is to make it look like America today. And if you must bring in Muslims, bring them in. And if one turns out to be a spy, that's the price you pay. That's the price you pay for diversity in the modern world. In Los Angeles, the police chief wanted to map all Muslims, a sound idea in a time of terror, since almost all the terror on the globe is being committed by Muslims. It's a fact of reality, whether it's uncomfortable or makes you nervous is irrelevant. That's the fact of reality. So the LAPD says, well, we better map Muslim communities. Well, one deviant who runs the ACLU, along with the millions and millions of dollars given to him by red diaper doper babies from NYU in New York City. I happen to know who gives them the most money. I'm not going to give you their name. They're sick in the head. The very people they're protecting through this deviant would slash their throat and throw them down a well. That's it. I have nothing to say. The country's insane. Did you elect this pervert from the ACLU to be your government? Yet he has now overridden the LAPD, the ACLU. He's overridden the Defense Department. He's overridden the president. He's overridden the Congress. How can you have a man in a communist organization like this, a subversive organization like this, dictating U.S. defense policy and U.S. Security policy? How can the country survive when you have an insane man running the ACLU, in my opinion? He is totally insane. He runs everything through one filter only. The filter is it good for gays? Is it good for Muslims? Is it good for minorities? That's all he cares about. Not is it good for America. How does it affect gays, number one, Muslims, number two, other minorities, number three? That's all that's on his mind. Now, how can you turn a country's security over to this man, which is what you've done? And that is because we have weak leadership and we don't have guts in the Senate. Because if we had guts in the Senate, they'd hold hearings, they'd investigate the funding. I'm sure they'd find third-party funding that's suspicious. They would arrest the leadership of the ACLU. They would seize their assets, and they would either deport the leadership or they would imprison them for 25 years to life. But that's why I am only a talk show host, and that's why they're politicians. Their business is to get along even with people who would kill us. My job is to alert you to the danger we are in. Now, you say, you know, Savage, I think you're overplaying this. After all, our civil liberties are far more important than our national security. Well, I disagree with you on that one. I would say that our national security is more important than our civil liberties. because without your life, what good are your civil liberties? I mean, it's a simple quotient. I mean, if you're dead, you don't have any civil liberties, do you? Or that hasn't entered your mind yet.
Well, I know the liberal reaction is, well, I'd rather see people well, I don't know exactly the answer, but I know civil liberties are good. I learned that in Brooklyn College. I learned in Brooklyn College before I gave my fortune to the ACLU.
So Hillary campaign takes cash from the people that Bill pardoned. Very shocking. That's why she pardoned them. Hello. Put two and two together. Pardon drug dealer, get money from him. Pardon smuggler, get money from him. Well, who are you going to get the money from? Who are you going to get the money from? Topic number four on the Savage Nation website, michaelsavage.com, America's least known website, where 28 million people have voted that I should run for office. How can it be an unknown website if 28 million people have voted on it? Gee, it's never mentioned anywhere. I don't know. Driver's licenses for migrants, not in Mexico. No, only here. Only here they scream racism. In Mexico, they don't give them to illegal aliens. Thanks, Yahoo. Chinese dissidents afraid to use internet now. Well, of course, we know that. They have no conscience. The Google boys, the Yahoo boys, the internet boys basically are, they're asocial. They're frightening. Bin Laden hiding in border mountains. Who knows? I don't care where he's hiding. It doesn't matter. If he popped his head up, the CIA wouldn't kill him. They'd have to get permission from the ACLU before they would fire a rocket at him. They'd have to go through Mr. Pockmark of the ACLU. If they could find him outside the bathhouse, they'd have to consult with him to see if they're able to fire a cruise missile at him. ACLU sues to allow U.S. entry of scholar accused of terror links. That's good. That's the important thing, is that we have civil liberties, not that we have national security. Oh, I was going to say to you, why do you suppose there have been no terror events in America recently? And why are the terrorists amongst us lying low? And why do you suppose the Muslim terrorists amongst us have not set anything off? I have the answer, I think. And I will share it with the Savage Nation when I return. So be certain to be here, because I will. Savage. Question that I teased you with before the break was, why have Muslim terrorists in this country not struck recently? Now, my suspicion is, A, the FBI probably has most of them under very tight surveillance. I think they pretty much know where they are and what, you know, what they're up to. And you have to give credit where credit is due, despite my statement earlier about the CIA and the FBI, which was tongue-in-cheek to a certain extent. Let's get very sober now. That's number one. But there's another reason, and that is the guys who pull the switch on these things or press the button are certainly cognizant of the fact that we're in an election cycle. And if there were a terrorist event in this country, it would catapult either Giuliani or Romney into the presidency, which would be very tough for the terrorists. If, on the other hand, there is no terrorist event, then someone such as the corrupt Hillary Clinton, who we already know what she is. I mean, she has a track record. She's not fresh as a daisy. We know who she is. We know what we're going to get. They're both running again. It's a co-presidency. There was 8 years. It's a term limit. She shouldn't even be allowed to run. This is a racket. It's unbelievable to me. He's campaigning for her. I mean, what, him and her? Her and him now? 16 years of the Clintons is just what the nation needs. So they want Clinton to win because she'll be soft on terrorism. Then they'll strike and they'll break us. They'll reduce us to the level of Spain. She'll replace the heads of the FBI, the CIA. She'll replace all the U.S. attorneys, and she'll make the country safe for terrorism. That's my opinion. WOR New York, Mike, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, hi, Michael. I heard over the summer you were thinking about doing a documentary on your life, and I wanted to know if you were still going to do that.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have. You're like a psychic. Yesterday I had the psychic palmist Vernon, who called from Oakland, who asked me, and as a matter of fact, two filmmakers are flying in from the East Coast this Sunday, who I'm meeting with, and we're going to discuss the project. I met with another team. They were great guys. They did some great work, but we didn't come to terms. Now I have a new team coming in. So, you know, these things take time, getting things off the ground. You ever watch a rocket take off, like one of the gigantic rockets that send things to the moon or Mars? You ever see how slowly they lift off? The initial liftoff is the hardest thing in anybody's life, you know, getting yourself off the launch pad in life, right? And it's like a rocket is the same thing. You ever see how slowly they all of the energy, most of the energy is needed to get it off the ground. Same with the movie. Same with the book. You understand that?
Absolutely. You'll be
sure, you know it from your own life, starting a new business. What is the hardest part about starting a new business? The beginning. The beginning is the hardest part. That's all. Thanks for the call. Yes, so to make a long story short, these guys are coming out this Sunday. I've seen their work. I'm not going to mention their name. And they want to do the Michael Savage story. And it will be a theatrical release when it's done. I have a very good friend who's a very famous guy in the film world who's going to be there, who had a big hit last year. He has another sequel coming up. He'll deal with the distribution. It'll go out through major channels. Look, even if liberals run the movie business, they want to make money. And they've had one bomb after another with the anti-war movies. They're not going to turn away from an audience of 10, 15 million people, such as what I have. And remember, just add it up. They're not turning away from a business decision like this. That's what I think. We'll see what time, what things bring in the future. 1-800-449-8255 is the Savage Nation phone number. We're all sitting here with our hearts pounding, waiting for the great CNN debate, moderated by the great fair-minded Wolf Blitzer. Unbelievable to me. It gets worse by the day. By the day, it gets worse. Las Vegas, Nevada. Chuck, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael, I couldn't believe it today. First-time caller. Three different talk show hosts had you on. We're talking about you. I just happened to be scanning the air. Laura Ingraham, some guy from Vegas, and this guy Dennis Miller from San Diego. We're talking about your Political Zoo book, and he's trying to get a hold of you to go on the air with him. I couldn't believe it. All these years, and never heard you, except never heard about you from other talk show hosts, and then three times today. So somebody's listening out there, Mike.
Well, that's good. Did they not disparage me?
No.
That's bad. See, that's bad for my reputation. If they had disparaged me, I would realize I'm still poignant. But since they're not disparaging me, I'm starting to worry.
It was fantastic to hear Miller talk about you. He wants to get you on there, and hey.
I know. Look, he's probably a nice guy. I have nothing against him. It's just that I'm not going to do that show. He's a nice guy, but he's in the pocket of the leprechaun, and that's the end of that one. You know, the leprechaun uses him as a puppet, a sock puppet on his show, like he uses the skank he had on today. He had the anti-Semitic skank on his show. What I mean, I don't want anything to do with him. It makes me sick, the leprechaun. It is the Savage Nation. We're sitting here with pounding heart waiting for the Wolf Blitzer debate. As you well know, he's a very reliable talk show host. How is he doing his show if the TV writers are on strike? He has no teleprompter. Oh, the news guys are not on strike. There's nothing going on, zero. The terrorists are laying low, waiting for a Democrat to win. The U.S. Navy won't talk about the Chinese sub coming up within firing distance of our Kitty Hawk aircraft carrier battle fleet. Not a word, zero. Nothing. Nothing's happening. Big news in my life. Today, Teddy ran into a door screen. He didn't get hurt. He ran into it. He didn't know it was there. Sad. You know, he didn't get... It's like, you want to think that they're never going to get hurt, but it was just like it hurt my feelings that he... I think his feelings were hurt. Like, he scampers after me. I walk up and down a hill, and I have a place on a hill, and it's like a country place, and there's a screen door. For some reason, he thought the door was open. He ran right at it. Boom. It bounced him back. Like a ball, that's all. I'm amazed how strong dogs are. I think we're much stronger than we think we are. It's like, ooh, ow, ee, ooh. It's all psychological. That's how fighters can take it. They're like, you know, they're more into the animal self. So I'm sitting here eating my blueberries, my grapes. I'm about to have a cup of tea like Arthur Godfrey. How are you? I'm relaxed. I care about nothing. Nothing bothers me. I found out that I have no friends, I have no associates, and I'm all alone in the world. Like, I was born alone, and I'll die alone, and that's it. The only thing you need in life is a good lawyer. You don't need friends. What do you need friends for? They can't help you anyway. What you need are lawyers. If I could only tell you what I really wanted to say, you'd really know where I'm coming from. But I'll leave it for another time, like my autobiography. Maybe the movie I'll talk about, a certain religious figure in San Francisco who pretended to be my friend and a conservative, who turns out to be a swine who took the side of the Islamo-fascists. It's amazing to me. All my they all pretend they're conservative. Everyone's a conservative till you need them. Then they run like the little chickens they are. I'll name him by name in the autobiography in the movie. That's all. He knows who he is. He should be ashamed of himself. But I don't think these religious people really have much shame. They're basically businessmen who don't want to work. They put on the costume. Some of them, not all of them. I met some real good ones. I told you, I met the black guy who works very hard, who has a church. I sent him $599 for the turkeys. I can't give out turkeys, though. I found that it's exactly when the show is on. Great guy. I want him to buy turkeys with the money. I'd love to be there, but I'm not going to give up the show to give up the show to give out a turkey. Let the money help. And that's it. I'm eating blueberries, grapes. I haven't made the tea. The dog is asleep in the studio. Play Hillary now. This is what we're going to get in a bit.
I am sick and tired of people who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic. And we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
No more hangers!
Sorry. That's the old Hillary, the one she hides. We all know that's the real Hillary. We all know what's underneath it. I mean, if anyone who's been, I almost said something I would have regretted. Let's just say any man who's of woman, and any man on earth is from woman. I mean, I assume most of you were not made in a laboratory and as associated with women. We understand that Hillary, that's the real Hillary, the real one. Well, what do you think Bill was doing with Monica and the others? He was running from that. Play the voice for a minute. If you were Bill Clinton, what would you choose? This?
I am sick and tired of people who say that if you debate and you disagree.
Or would you choose that to come home to or an intern? That's all. You got to ask yourself that question. You can't blame him in a way. But that's what you're going to get. You want that for the presidency? My God. I don't know. Maybe she'd scare Osama bin Laden. You never can tell. I think the Muslims are afraid of women, which is why they put them in the cloaks. They're afraid of their sexuality. In that sense, I am a feminist and agree with the feminist movement. I believe that the radical Muslims are terrified of women's sexuality, and they cloak them because they don't even want to see their hair, because they understand the power of a woman's sexuality, and all they want to do is suppress it so they can be with their boyfriend. There's something about that you don't know about. Although they kill homosexuals, it's very rampant in, you know what I'm saying? You're not allowed to talk about it. They kill them, but they do it anyway, because the women are all like off limits. I don't know how it works. I can't figure that whole thing out. They kill homosexuals, they say that they're no good, and yet apparently that behavior is not uncommon in some quarters to do with terrorism. And Arafat, for example, well-established boys used them like whatever, and as playthings. And how do you – I don't understand how that works. See, many of you are confused. You think that gays are weak or sissies. You don't understand that has nothing to do with machismo. You know, you got to go back to Spartacus probably earlier than that to get into this whole thing. But again, please, let's not go there. That's not the issue. The issue is why Bill Clinton probably messed around with Monica and the others. It was that voice was waiting for him at home. I mean, after a hard day in the White House, would you want to come home to that? That's what you got to ask yourself. Where is she today? She's selling handbags? She had a little run for a while. Does anyone know what she's doing these days? Chicago, Betty, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Savage. Your show is so cathartic for me. You get out all of my frustrations so I don't have to do it. And
yeah, well, it's like a mental laxative, I understand. What's on your mind today?
Teddy. I love Teddy. And when you talk about him and you tell me that he is in the office, and I know it's so therapeutic for you.
It is. Yeah, I take my dog to work every day. He's asleep. He sleeps during the whole entire three-hour show. Once in a while, he'll stretch during a break if I go out the door. And he knows just when the show's over, he does the big stretch and it's over. Then he's like ready for the night, you know? He's ready to like put on his spats and go out dancing. You know, I got to include Teddy in my movie. I really do. Oh, a caller about something close to my heart. Not the debate, not Hillary, not Rudy, not illegal immigration, not terrorism. It's about a restaurant. Rod, KNEW, San Francisco. What's on your mind?
I had an evening there once. I thought you might like to hear a brief story about that.
Wait, but you've got to tell the listeners across the country an evening where.
I'm sorry, at the Czechoslovakian restaurant in Inverness. You mentioned it one
right.
night.
There's a Czechoslovakian restaurant out in a beachy community run by a man who escaped the communists. I believe in 1959 he was a champion skier. He skied over the Austrian Alps into freedom, and then he came to America, and he was a lifetime athlete. He's an elderly gentleman now, and he owns a beautiful inn that he cooks in and serves in. A great guy, all around great guy. So what happened with you there?
Well, my wife and I were up there for the evening, so she's a vegetarian, so we just knocked on the door to have a drink after looking at the menu. So we went and sat and had a drink, and I asked him, well, what do you have to eat that my wife can eat? And he was still in his white riding breeches, just not riding, and he said, she can go eat with the horses.
Yeah.
And
Wait, he said she could eat one of the horses, he said?
Go with the horses.
Oh, that's funny. In other words, don't come in my restaurant and tell me you're a touchy-feely veggie, huh?
Not so much. And we just cracked up. We thought it was really hilarious.
He's very, very sharp. He doesn't tolerate anybody's idiosyncrasies other than his own. This is why I like him. He's the one who let my last dog sit at the bar when I came out there Snowy was alive, the Sheltie that I love, that dog. I once said, can I bring him in? He said, what, are you crazy? Of course. He said, I like dogs more than I like people. I said, should she sit? No, he said, put her on the bar. He brought over a whole meal for her on the bar. Great guy, terrific guy. But he's the one who threw the guy out once. That was a long time ago. I don't want to tell a story again. It's old. It's over. You know what I would like? I like an inn in the winter. I like a fire, heavy food. You know, once in a while you need a meal like that. But like last night, I was invited at kind of late in the day by a good friend of mine to go to a little dinner in a yacht club for a group of people involved with a science group called the Exploratorium. First-rate, wonderful people. They had seen a lecture. I was on the air. I came later. And I was amazed by, first of all, very nice people, and I love the Exploratorium. It's a place for kids that's like hands-on. And we had a nice conversation about what I think that they should do in the new place and what I'd like to do with them. But that's a separate story. We'll talk about it another time. I watched what people ordered for dinner. You could get a piece of roast. You know, it's like a fixed dinner, right, in a club. So it's either the chicken, the roast beef, or the fish. So I picked the fish. I'm never going to eat a heavy meat meal. I rarely eat meat anyway, but when I do, it's never at night because I can't sleep. They brought out a piece of roast beef that looked like it was 16 ounces per serving. I never saw anything as large. It filled the plate. So somebody said, would you like anything with that, to my friend? I said, yeah, how about some fish oils and a heart pump? An artery rotor here. I couldn't believe it. I ordered the fish. I got a hospital dish. It was like, okay, give me the fish, no sauce. Give me the potato, no butter. You know what? I slept like a baby. I could never eat a piece of roast beef like that. How could you eat a piece of roast beef like that at 8 o'clock at night and go to sleep? I don't know how people do it. I never eat dessert. Never. Never. Never, never, never. Well, I have a piece of fruit now and again. Sugar is the number one killer in our diets. It's not fat, it's sugar, by the way. And don't argue with me. I know more about it than you do. But let's not go into food now. Sacramento, Alex has a political question. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Sabich, once you explained it to me what's mean democracy, and theoretically I got it. But I want to ask your opinion if you can see it happen practically, because everybody is so different, and if not to say so sick, and everybody wants their opinion. So I want to ask you, please explain to me from your point of view, practically, if there is possibility for democracy. I'll take my call off the air.
He's an ex-former Russian, this fellow, called last week and asked me to describe what democracy is. And I said, theoretically, it's the will of the people, a government that enacts the will of the people. And we know that that's no longer the case. I don't know when it was last the case in this country. But we know that we have a separate political class in this country, an oligarchy, as it is, who pretends every few years that they care what you think. And so they put on these show debates with the stooges and the media who make believe they're asking the people's questions, and we all know it's rubbish. Now, the gentleman asked a very poignant question, which is democracy possible in a nation as divided as ours and as individualized and as individualistic as ours? Well, I don't know. I truthfully don't know. I know that when you bring in millions of poor people and you have demagogues who will put their own interests above, that is the interest of the politician, the demagogue, above the survival of the nation, and they start pandering to the lowest common denominator, it's inevitable that you'll have a revolution and a collapsed nation. if you're going to start pandering to the poorest of the poor, and you're going to say to them, yes, we'll give you more welfare, yes, we'll give you more health care, yes, we'll give you more handouts, and we're going to take it from those who work, and they figure that there's more poor than there are middle and rich, and they'll get the votes of the poor if they tell them they're going to give them more, you do the math and tell me where it ends up. You got Chavez, Venezuela, dictatorship. That's all there is to it. So I don't have an answer for you right now. I have no direct answer to that question. Has democracy been possible in a polyglot nation? Yes. Remember, here's an important thing to remember if you want a little hope, because I'm not a total, negativist. I can be quite negative and pessimistic when required, but I can also be optimistic when it's necessary to be real on certain issues. I'm not going to just do it for effect, okay? I'm not totally pessimistic, so I'm going to give you an example. At the turn of the last century, 1900 through 1920, about 10% of the population was made up of the poorest of the poor of European immigrants. It had reached a point where there was phenomenal social discord between the wave after wave of immigrants that were coming in, primarily Italian at that time and Jewish, and they were hated. They were hated by the previous waves of immigrants, and there was great social discord, terrible dissension in the country. People were saying many of the things that they're saying now about the Jews and the Italians that they say about the Mexicans. I mean, let's be clear. I'm an immigrant son, and I've studied the whole immigration experience. I don't think I'm talking from a particular, like, disconnected perspective. I know what's going on. But there's such differences between the waves of Europeans, number one, and the waves of illegals today in so many ways. Not perhaps in the human way, as I told you yesterday about that Mexican man and his son. Believe me, I can see the human element. I'm talking about the large population as a whole, the difference. And you have to understand that the liberal says all societies are the same, all cultures are the same, and all people are the same, which is rubbish. You know it's not true. Just look at a boxing match. Look at a football field. Look at a baseball field. Do I have to get any more specific? We all know there are differences in performance levels. And it's the same with societies. It's also the same with individuals. So we all know that. So having said that, the waves of immigrants who are coming out of Europe came here with a dream that was largely connected with becoming American. Yes, they kept their foot in the old world. They spoke the language at home. They brought their traditions of the cuisine and their ways. But they were dying to be Americans. They were dying to be Americans. And they saluted the American flag. And by and large, super patriotic. Especially amongst the Italians, by the way. Certainly they had their socialist left-wing leanings. Just look at the Sacco and Vanzetti school of anarchists and the bomb at the bombs they threw into the Wall Street area. I understand that streak in the Italian community, and we've talked about it. But by and large, they wanted to be Americans, and they were super patriotic. And look at the graves at the military cemeteries and see how many people are of Irish or of Italian heritage, along with the WASP heritage, along with the other heritages. But you'll see how many of them became such great soldiers and patriots. Unfortunately, because of the type of situation we have with spineless, pandering politicians, the millions of illegal immigrants, while may individually be family-oriented and individually may be brave, given the chance to fight for the country, by and large, they are not patriotic towards this country. They do not learn the language. That's why you have to press one for English. The proof is in the telephone. The proof is the fact that you're losing your language. If I were making this up just to steam you up, what I'm telling you could be refuted very easily. They do not learn English. They don't want to learn English. They want you to learn broken Spanish. That's A. Number two, you're forced to press one for English in your own country. They do not learn the language, and they do not want to be Americans at all. In fact, if you look at the sporting events, which I do quite often, you will very often see flags from El Salvador, Mexico, Nicaragua, the regions where the fighters come from. You never see them waving an American flag. They're very, very unpatriotic, and they don't consider themselves Americans at all. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Here's some headlines. You want me to do news? Then I'll take some calls. Arizona Spanish language radio station slams police for describing a suspect as Hispanic. A rapist who is, the women are saying, well, what does he look like? Duh, he says an Hispanic a certain height. So now they're mad that they're saying he's Hispanic. You hear? Hispanic, 23 to 40 years old, short with a muscular build. What should they say about him? No race at all? How do they start looking? That would be like saying a car instead. What if it was the man escaped in an SUV? What would you say? A large boxy car in order to avoid saying SUV? Stupid moron. Stupid moron. Pelosi's $30 billion spending frenzy. What do you think she's in office for? For the good of mankind? Chevron pays $30 million in Iraq bribes cases. That's about a minute's earnings. CBS says 120 veteran suicides a week. I think it's rubbish. I think that's a total lie. It's like they said that all the Vietnam vets who came back were broken and homeless. That turned out to be invented. I guarantee you, but what I'm saying to you right now, this was invented by the CBS News investigative unit. And their suicide data is flawed. I can guarantee you I'm right on this. I don't know. These stories are depressing. They really are. Lawmen under siege along Mexico border. Alien and drug smugglers are using more violence against federal, state, and local law enforcement authorities. Of course. Of course. We have wonderful people running everything. They should put tanks on the border, and then you'd stop the drugs and the illegal aliens. And that's not what they want. They want the illegal aliens and the contraband. Don't you think they could stop it in a day? John, WFTL, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah. Doesn't it bother you that dog breeders have manipulated evolution to produce that tiny, helpless creature you own?
No. Teddy, this man's calling you a freak. Come over here. You think my dog is a tiny, helpless creature? I actually think all of his brains were condensed. It sounds to me like you missed some inbreeding along the way.
Don't you wish? Don't you think he wishes he was a big Ferrari?
I don't know.
Dog?
Maybe he likes being the size he is. He's easy to pick up. Put him in a pocketbook. You need some inbreeding, I think.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We're all sitting with beating hearts waiting for the debate that, of course, I don't understand that it's so far ahead of the election. So we'll turn it on. I'm going to run it. I'll ridicule him a little bit. We'll see what's going on. Or I'll listen and learn. We'll see what Hillary will do, you know, the no-wire hangers woman. But at the end of the last hour, a man called and said, don't you feel that it's wrong to breed small dogs that are helpless? You know, and said my dog Teddy, who's a miniature poodle, 10 or 11 pounds, is a freak, basically. Not, he's helpless. So I want to relate a story to you for a minute about dogs, since I'm a dog fanatic. And I've had dogs all of my life. Just a quick dog story, not about Teddy, by the way. A general story. Hi, Ted. Everything came out okay? I let him out of the studio. Gave him a piece of cheese. Boom. He has a secret digestive system. You give him food right away, he has to run out in the grass. Good boy. Go lay down, you pitiful, helpless creature. Listen to the show. You'll learn something. What was I? So I was once on a plane, I was once on a long flight to London, 10, 11 hours out of New York. And it was the days when the planes were very large and empty. And about 4 or 5 hours into it, I noticed a man on the plane who noticed me. And you know how it is. In those days, you'd strike up a conversation. There was not like today where everyone's afraid of their own shadow. And one word leads to another, and We didn't exchange many details about who we were, nor did we want to. It turned out, I think, he didn't say it exactly, he was a drug dealer. And the reason I say that is he started to describe to me where the best places are to hide drugs on an airplane. I couldn't believe it. I mean, the guy must have been stoned or something and needed to talk to someone. She's telling me to put it here, put it. I said, well, look, I don't use – it doesn't matter. He was like just chatting, okay? He told me more than I really wanted to know. Then he says to me about houses and security and what kind of guns. He was in the MAC gun, the MAC 10, whatever. So I said to him, well, what about dogs? I said, aren't dogs a good security system? He said, yes, and the smaller the better. I said, what? Not a big dog? He says, no, man. He says, a guy comes into a house. It's very hard, very easy to shoot a big dog. They're like the size of a person. He says, it's very hard to shoot a little dog. And that's why, he said to me, the ancient Chinese used 15 or 16 small dogs like Lhasa Apso in the bedrooms. You understand what those dogs were. They were not just there to be pretty. They were burglar alarms. So like the princess or the queen or the royalty, whatever, had 16, 18 of those dogs on her bed in her bedroom. If anybody tiptoed in there at night, I don't care who the ninja was, the dogs would hear them. And then they'd have 16 dogs come at them, and there's no ninja on earth who's going to be able to fend off those 16 dogs before the Praetorian Guard arrived. So that's what he was saying to me. That's all. That's all. But that's neither here nor there. I figured we'd just have a little fun with that. Lawmen under siege along Mexico border, but you're not interested in that. I already read these stories. It's so boring. The news is so horrible. What would you like to talk about? I know you'd rather I tell you stories. I don't have any. I'm tapped out. The tank is empty. I'm thinking about Thanksgiving already. I start a week ahead. I'm going to my daughter's house for Thanksgiving. It's become like a tradition. And we're going to have the tradition, which I love. To me, it's my favorite holiday of the whole year. Thanksgiving. Thank God for the pilgrims. We're very, very lucky that they were. Who were the pilgrims? You think about it. They were fanatical Christians who didn't want to live in decadent England. They wanted to create a more Puritan Christian world for themselves in America. Isn't that interesting? When you say Puritan, when you think about it. Puritan, they were, you know, they wanted a more puritanical lifestyle. Now, let's not go into the Indian thing. Please leave me alone with that already. I will just go back to my tradition. You can do anything you want. I don't care. Feathers, mice droppings. I don't care what you do. It doesn't matter to me. I like turkey. I like to think about the pilgrims. I like to think about all of the people I have to thank in life and how lucky I am. But the food is wonderful. See, food is more than food. Food is more than nutrients. Food is more than carbohydrates, proteins, fats, and vitamins and minerals. Food is about culture. Food is about family. And you have to understand that, which most of you do understand. So Thanksgiving is a very important holiday in America, as you well know. And all of the ethnic groups who have adapted to America celebrate Thanksgiving in their own way. They just modify it, you know, slightly. I suggested, would you like chestnuts? And no one makes chestnuts anymore. I love them. It reminds me of New York. Remember the Chestnut Man story? See, I triggered a story. The Chestnut Man story, you remember. I'll tell it in a minute. The perv who tried to get me and my friend up to his house, but we played along with him just to ride him. And then, we knew what he was doing. I was outside the Central Park, cold day, 12 years old, subway into Manhattan, freezing, but dressed well enough that the only thing you felt was your nose was like frozen. I used to love that. God, I miss the cold. I think I'm going to go up to Tahoe for the end of December. Everyone wants to go to the tropics in the winter. What for? I hate the heat. All year long, everyone waits for this winter to go to the heat. All summer, they wait for the winter to go to the heat that they can't stand. I'm going to go up to the snow this year. I want to get, like, snowed in. I always love getting snowed in. You know what I mean? So anyway, let's forget the Chestnut Man. I think we're going to do him outside on the deck with the traditional dinner. I suggest that we turn the barbecue on outside and put aluminum foil on the grate and put the chestnuts on top of it. I'll be the Chestnut Man, okay? That'll be my job. My job will be outside with the dogs drinking and roasting chestnuts. God, what a... But that's what it's come down to. Yeah. Right now I'm looking for chafing dishes. This is a very funny thing. See, one thing about Thanksgiving dinners is they're great, but the food gets cold because there are so many items to control that the only person on earth who could ever serve a Thanksgiving dinner where everything was at the same temperature was my mother. With no matter how many people were at the table crowded in, You had to walk in her dining room in Queens in that row house with your behind backwards, or you'd get emasculated against various objects that were sticking. I never saw any, how many people could come in. You had to walk with your – you had to walk – you understand what I'm saying to you? The room was so crowded with things and objects and vacuum cleaners and hoses and dishes, forks and knives and people and chair ends that you had to walk around the table. It was so crowded with your behind pressed backwards. Otherwise, if you walked normally, you'd be ruined. She was the only one who could bring out everything that's hot. I don't know how she did it. She had a four-burner electric stove in Queens. I don't know how she did it. I still don't know how she got all the heat. I've tried it. It's impossible. If the turkey's hot, the potatoes are cold. If the potato's hot, the turkey's cold. If both the potatoes and turkey are hot, then the stuffing's cold. If they're good, then the peas turned out too early and they're cold. She had it timed. I don't know how she did it. So I'm looking for chafing dishes to give. I never used one, but they work. Now, here's the problem. They're so trailer parky. Chafing dishes are such trailer park items, and you have a choice in them. I went on the internet. I Googled chafing dishes. I couldn't believe what came up. The absolute cheapest and most white trashy of all of them are the electric, or the Sterno ones, I think. They go all the way up to the stainless steel, but do you really want Sterno at a Thanksgiving dinner? If I remember correctly, Sterno really stinks. So you want the electric one? I don't know what's better. Is there a chafing dish person in the house? I had my housekeeper buy one for me today in a hardware store. God only knows what it's going to look like till I get it. When I get it tonight, I may send it back. But I want to bring chafing dishes and see if that can control things. It's me, because I want it for my own house. When I cook, things are always badly temperature. This is cold. That's hot. This isn't it. So that's what I'm into, is chafing dishes. You think I'm interested in a Wolf Blitzer? Do you think I care what they're going to say tonight? Do you think it has one iota of reality based to this tonight? No. Well, you want to talk about Iran? Or do you want to talk about gangs in L.A., the ACLU? We could do that. I have something to say on that. But what's the good of saying it? Go on my website. You'll see what's going on in the world and how horrible it is. What do you want to talk about here? Do you want me to cover the debate when it comes up in about 45 minutes, or do you want me to just not do it? Because I could watch it and say my thing, you know, like whatever. Or I could not do it. You know, what do you want me to do? Dan, K. Dorn, Las Vegas. Go ahead, please.
Mike, you got to cover the debate live. The last time you covered it live, it was the funniest show I'd ever heard.
Because I sit here like a guy watching a sporting event, and I speak out what crosses my mind, and it's usually what's on other people's minds, right?
It was brilliant. It was the funniest thing I'd heard. It was one of your.
I'll do it then. You're calling from Las Vegas. Are you actually going to the hotel where they're holding it?
No, I'm driving through Las Vegas to San Diego from Salt Lake.
Oh. Okay, I'll cover it. I'll do it on the radio, so wherever you are. Where are they holding it tonight in Vegas? What are they interviewing people with greenery around? And there's like one tree in Las Vegas. I don't understand that. You have a tree outside the Hilton. Where you have a statue of Elvis Presley that they still have there. That stinks, the smoking in those casinos. I can't take it. I go in there, I walk out, my eyes are smarting. I mean, can't they have a smoke-free casino somewhere? San Diego, Mary, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, I'd like to hear Mr. Scongeli have a debate with Hillary Clinton.
Oh, my God, that would be a killer. John Scongeli asks Hillary Clinton questions. Well, that might be a funny skit for another day. That might be very funny. Sierra Vista, John, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, regarding the chafing dishes.
Yes.
You don't want to look for the higher-end ones, like from Wallace Silver or Reed & Barton. They also sell...
Okay, good, good. And what do they use as a heat source?
Alcohol burners.
Oh, they don't... No, Sterno sucks.
They stink up your house. It's hideous. And the alcohol is completely odor-free.
But if I order it now, I'll get it like next Easter. Where can I go buy one?
Any of the high-end silver dealers. Look in a better mall, you know, go to a...
All right, and what are they, like a four-quart container in there?
Yeah, and even the nicer ones have a nice Pyrex glass insert, which are really...
That's beautiful. What I should do. Yeah, and I'm going to get the stainless, the sterling silver chafing dish, and you say an alcohol burner, and it's odor-free?
And you'll take the trailer park right out of your Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, I'm the only one who wants the warming train. No one else asked for it. I had already throw a monkey wrench into everything. You know, it's the problem. I'm the father. I always have to mess something up with a suggestion. I can't just sit there and shut my mouth and drink and eat like everyone else. I have to suggest something. WTNT, Terry, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, I suggest warming trays, just electric warming trays. Everything.
What is a warming tray as opposed to a chafing dish? What's the difference?
It's flat, so you can put anything, any of your dishes, any of your pots, any of your pans. I don't know what you serve out of, any of your...
Oh, so you can take the whole pot of potato, like mashed potatoes, and put them on a warming tray, on a grid?
And it goes on the table hot.
I see. Okay. Well, my issue is you slice the turkey, and all the slices should go into a container onto a chafing dish to keep it hot, right? I don't know. What's the difference? I think I'm just going to go to a... You know, how come they do it so perfectly in Hofbräus? They have it down, those Hofbräus. There's one in San Francisco that serves buffalo and turkey and pastrami and corned beef, beer. All the guys behind the counters are Mexican, but they're the greatest guys in the world. And generation after generation goes in this place. The poor European tourists are in there. They all, it's on some map, they find it. But you have to dodge the bums of San Francisco to get in there, my God. You need galoshes to walk down the street from the sputum and the refuse of these people. What a dirty city. I love this city, but God, it's disgusting what this mayor has done to it and what these perverted left-wing whack jobs. They let the dirt and the filth and the, oh, it's just disgusting. They like dirt. They're dirty-minded, so they think dirt is normal. What would you like to talk about now on the Savage Nation? We got pilgrims, winter dogs, savage movie, Pakistan. I was right about Pakistan. It went right over everyone's head. I told you she was a troublemaker. I told you she was a power-mad, corrupt troublemaker. But the American media, like Wolf Blitzer, for example, I got to do this quickly. Here you got this idiot, Wolf Blitzer, who really knows from nothing. He's a know-nothing guy running the debate. Here's a guy who ate the Budo story up lock, stock, and barrel. She's a woman. She wants democracy. Not one report on the Budo family and their corruption and how she killed her own bodyguards when she came back with that parade out of a demagogic creed of her own. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Now, here's the question of the day. Did the pilgrims have turkey for dinner? Well, I'm going to read it to you because it's very interesting. Who were the pilgrims? Well, they arrived in the New World aboard the Mayflower. And there's a letter dated December 11, 1621, sent from New England to a friend in England. The author was believed to be a gentleman named Edward Winslow. And it doesn't actually have an actual date of the first Thanksgiving feast, but they think that it followed a successful harvest, and so therefore the date of celebrating Thanksgiving is probably very near correct. But what did they eat? Did the pilgrims actually have turkey for Thanksgiving? According to William Bradford, who was there in his book of Plymouth Plantation, he said, besides waterfowl, there was great store of wild turkeys, of which they took many. But turkey wasn't the only thing on the menu that day of giving thanks. They also had venison. According to the same gentleman, some 90 Indians joined in the festivities, along with their greatest king, Massasoit. And says the pilgrims entertained and feasted with these Native Americans for 3 days. They knew how to party, those guys. But you see what happens when you party too long with pilgrims, you wind up massacred. And they brought deer. And besides turkey and other birds and venison, they also had fish. You see, a group went out fishing and came back with cod, bass, and other fish. And so there it is. And then they ate fruit. So that's interesting. So turkey, other birds, venison, fish. Very, very nice. Very interesting. So now I have to get some venison. I don't know. Is there, short of, you know, killing a deer, is that frozen venison any good? I doubt it. There's plenty of guys who hunt deer on this show listening to the show. Cincinnati, Ohio. Neil, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi. I'm wondering, like, because I was reading The Enemy Within, and on the back jacket of the cover, it says you're a conservationist, and, you know, there's a picture of you as an ethnobotanist with the locals or wherever you are. And, you know, you never talk about it on your show. There's never anything on your website about it. I mean, why isn't conservation on the show? What makes you a conservationist?
Well, I've collected medicinal plants in many islands of the South Seas and recorded them for posterity. So in other words, I've conserved traditional knowledge of how to use plants. That would be one. There are other aspects to my conservationist background, which I could talk about. I find it boring. So we're coming up on Thanksgiving. We're talking about chafing dishes, food warmers, what to eat. And the pilgrims, we found out, ate turkey. They had fish. They had venison. So I went on a website during the break. And I have a site that sells venison, elk jerky, beef jerky, buffalo jerky. They're funny names. I'll tell you right now, in my house, we never had elk jerky. I will start with that premise. My mother never heard of elk jerky. If I said, hey, Ma, what are you making for Thanksgiving? Well, we're going to have the turkey. We're going to put sweet potatoes. Are you having elk jerky, Mom? No, not this year, no. Elk jerky didn't make it to Queens. I'm sure it's eaten somewhere if they're selling it. Elk jerky, beef jerky, buffalo jerky. What the heck is jerky? It's like dried up, right? Like a sauce, dried. You hunt with it. You can go out with that in your pocket. You could eat it. It's like elk meat venison recipes, elk meat nutritional info. Elk meat. Well, the Finnish people have herds of elk. A lot of good it did them. Half their children are junkies. I'm not saying it's related to the elk, but something went wrong up there in that country. I think I'm going to get elk meat. No, I don't have the heart for elk meat. I'll try venison. I ate venison. I ate it once. I didn't really like it. I ate buffalo in that place, too. I don't know. There's something weird about buffalo. Every time I eat buffalo, I think of Ted Turner for some reason. I don't know why. I know somehow if I have buffalo, I'm somehow feeding Jane Fonda's inheritance. Somehow, some way, I don't want to do it for some reason. It's a weird psychological connection. I'm going to bring venison. No, that would be insulting. You can't bring things like that to someone's house for dinner. You're going to bring venison and impose yourself on them? Why don't you just come in with a pheasant over your arm, you know, like with a Davy Crockett hat? Really go crazy. Syracuse, New York. Robert, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? I just wanted to thank you for the beautiful Israeli women on your website. I always check your website because I enjoy it, and I clicked on the Israeli woman site, and lo and behold, when I clicked the little video box, my wife walked in and, you know, what are you doing? And I said, geez, I'm just looking at Michael Savage's website.
Oh, so she thought you were looking at internet porn? I don't have it. Wasn't porn. It was the Israeli girls in the IDF, the military. Just, you know, they were showing you another face of Israel instead of every the stereotype. That's all it was.
Yeah, that's all. But
did she get very mad?
Oh, once she saw it was you, she was very forgiving. We took it
off because I figured somebody would misinterpret that. But thank you. No, it was no harm intended. I think people should have a different view of Israel. Not that I have, you know, I get nothing from it. They never invited me to so much as a matzah at the ambassador, so I don't really care one way or the other. They don't care about me. I don't care about them. That's all. At this point, I don't care one way or the other about any of it. I'm telling you the truth. I'm reaching a point. Let everyone fight their own battles. No one's here for me. What do I care? I'm reaching a new point in my life. Let them all do what they want. I go out on a limb, and when I need them, you know where they are? Nowhere. Zero. You go up and down the line, so I'm not going to sit here complaining to you. At the end of the day, you know who you have? You. You have you, and that's it. You better make sure that you know what you're doing and that you can protect yourself legally and other ways. That's all, because no one's going to be there for you. Family, maybe, if you're lucky. So we're just waiting for the great debate, which will be as boring as you can imagine. I can guarantee you it will be boring beyond belief. I'll try it. At the top of the hour, you know that nothing's going to happen. Here's my prediction, since we're going to watch it together, and I'm going to talk about it. Hillary knows she's in trouble. She knows that she's sliding. She knows she's been seen for what she is. We got to peek into the real Hillary. That's only the tip of the iceberg. We know she's a politician. Okay, she's got only one choice tonight, and that's to come out slugging. On the other hand, if she comes out slugging and sounds too much of the harridan that she is, if she displays too much of the harridan that's within, she's finished. So she can't do the no wire hangers, Hillary. She's got to look tough, strong, but not mean. She can do it. She's a good actress. So that's number one. And number two, where does it leave Giuliani? He's got the Kerik problem now. He's got the big city liberal problem, which America's finally waking up to the fact that how many times can he do the ashes of 9/11? You know, what did he actually do on 9/11? I mean, you want to break it down? What did he have to do with 9/11 other than he let it happen? You want to really get down and dirty on this? He was the mayor, for God's sakes. How come he didn't have any control over what was going on in his city? Well, they didn't come from his city, you could argue. But nevertheless, he was the mayor of the city when it happened. What was the bullhorn in the ashes? What did he actually do that was so great? Nothing. He really used the ashes of 9/11 for his own political revival, to be frank, and that's terrible. But I have to say it because no one else will. So that's why I'm not a big fan of this guy. Romney I'd like to like, but I don't know what there is to like about him. Let me say it again. Romney, oh, do I need a scotch right now, because I'll tell you the truth. I really could like a nice single malt after the show. It's cold now. It's cold. I feel I got another hour and a half to go of grinding work here on the microphone. The minute the show is over, I'm going to go have a single malt. And it'll warm me up. Then I'll make dinner. And that's the end of the show. The end of the story. 1-800-449-8255. On MichaelSavage.com. Here are the headlines. Oh, I read the headlines already. There's no Israeli girls up. No more Israel stories. I'm not going to run them. You know what? Let them take care of themselves. What do they need me for? Here's how I feel about Israel at this point. You want me to level with you? They got like the fourth most powerful military in the world, and they don't use it. So what do they want from me? What am I sitting? I don't want to read Debka anymore. Every day another fright story on Debka. The Syrians doing this, Hezbollah doing that. Well, go take care of it. What are you kvetching about? That's what I feel. I'm sick of it already. I'm sick of this every day with the fear-mongering. Ooh, Hezbollah did this. Ooh, Hezbollah did. Well, go take care of it. You got F-16s that you're not using. So what do you need them for? What do you need me for? Go do it every day. Olmert is this. Olmert is that. Olmert's selling me down the river. Nuclear watchdog director Mohammed El-Baradi produces another bland report on Iran's nuclear. I'm sick of it. Okay, your predecessors in Israel had a pair of balls. You know what I'm saying? They had their foot in the old world, and they weren't afraid to unleash their military on Saddam Hussein's nuclear reactor at Osirik. They took it out. They didn't ask for that school mom's permission or the dunce we have as commander-in-chief. They did what they had to do to survive and to protect their women and children. That's more than I could say for this generation of Israelis, half of whom are in New York half the time. So you want to hear what I have to say? There, I said it. I'm sick of the whole subject, and I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm sick of it. Let them take care of their own problems. They got the military and they don't use it. Every day kvetching on the Hezbollah this, Lebanon that. Go do something about it. Give you all the weapons and you don't use it. So what do you want from us? Go do something about it. That's all. You want reality? I gave you a reality talk. I'm withdrawing. I'm going to become an isolationist very soon. I'm withdrawing from all of this outside stuff. I'm more concerned with my own borders, language, and culture than I'm about Israel. If they can't take care of themselves, so be it. Then the desert sands will sweep them away. In 100 years, there'll be no Israel. You know who said that to me? A very brave Israeli tank commander who fought the Golan War. Great guy. He fought hand-to-hand combat with a Syrian, and he said they're great warriors. And so was he. He had to kill him with a flare gun. I'll never forget that story as long as I live. The tanks were blown up all around them. The only people left were a few guys in him and his tank. He was the commander, and the Syrian commander. They ran at each other with flare guns, and he had no bullets left in his own gun. He had to shoot him with a flare gun. So now this guy, certified Israeli war hero, says to me, the way he sees the future, I haven't seen him in 10 years. He was a great guy. He said to me, Michael, he said, in 100 years, there'll be no Israel. He said, the sands are just going to move back over the land, and we'll be gone. I said, are you kidding me? He said, that's the way. And remember now, he's second, third generation Israeli. He was not from Brooklyn. He didn't move there waiting for the Messiah to arrive. Okay? So what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I don't know what to say. That's all. Take care of business or don't, you know. You have an apartment anywhere, probably in Manhattan, a dual residence, most of them, with a Macy's credit card. That's why I'm talking about turkey and pheasant, turkey and venison. I'd rather be focused. Local is good. Now we're getting arguments over elk is better than venison. You hear this? Isn't this interesting? Elk is better than venison. So I'll get elk, okay? I'll go to my butcher and say, you got a piece of elk for me. They'll call the nut house altogether. You got to live in the actual America to know what elk is. You know, this is a great joke. You know something? If I were the moderator tonight, the first question I would ask is, which one of you have ever eaten elk? And if none of them raised their hand, I'll say, well, I'm sorry. None of you are getting my... Because you can guarantee one thing. Most of the guys in the military have had venison of one kind or another in their life. They grew up eating it. Their fathers were hunters, and so were they. A good percentage of them. Okay? Now you got the guys who live east of the Hudson River who are pretending that they know what guys west of the Hudson River eat and drink and what they think of America, and they don't. So I'd level it with them. I'd do an elk jerky on them. This is not a bad... See, you expect Wolf Blitzer to ask about elk and elk jerky? Huh! Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I could do ethnic jokes right now, but I have enough trouble as it is, so I'm not going to do it. Houston, Texas, Mark, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, with all politics aside, who would you like to see portray you in your movie? What actor would you prefer?
Well, it's going to be a documentary, Mark. I'm going to tell you right now. It's like the life story of Michael Savage. One title was one thing or another. It's about from Bronx to broadcasting. I mean, it's a working idea. How did I go from there to here? And why do I have such a large audience when I'm reviled by virtually everybody in the media and there's a silence? There's a boycott of Michael Savage. He doesn't exist. Yet the show is enormous, even though it's late in the day. It's very big. It's very popular. 4 bestsellers in a row. The man has written 25 books that are published. He's done an awful lot in his life. There's quite a story to tell. But you're saying, who would play me as a child? The answer is nobody, because it's going to be I'm going to narrate this movie, first of all. I could get an outside narrator to add a dimension to it, and I may use intermittent. I have a woman in mind. I have a certain woman narrator. She's unbelievable. I heard her in a documentary once. I loved her voice. So we're going to use archival photos, all of the – I have enormous – I'm like a collector of photos and videos. You have no idea what I have in my collection. Super 8 movies, 8mm movies, whatever. It's a story that will be told. You got Michael Moore distorting on the left, telling you how great Cuban medical care is, but you know that Slabola, if he had a kidney stone, wouldn't elect to go to the University of Havana to have it removed. He'd either go to Cedar Sinai or some equivalent, okay? As is true for all of the leftists. They're not rushing to Cuba for medical care, or Canada for that matter. But they like the documentary. It shows you how bad America is. And, hey, look, that's, you know, score one for Carl. Mine is going to be an honest appraisal of how an immigrant son survives in America, thrives in America despite all obstacles, and is a voice for millions of people who are not from his background and why they relate to him. What do they hear in him that they like, and why do they like him? What is he saying that they want said that's not being said? What does America want done in this country that's not being done? I think it's a great movie. So there's no one going to have to play me. We'll show video of me. I don't have video. There were no videos when I was a kid. I don't even think there were typewriters. I don't know if there was a telephone when I was a kid. Did we have telephone? I'm joking. It seems like so long ago. I got to tell you the truth. You know, I don't feel like I'm my age. I'm a much younger person inside. I'm a younger soul than I am physically aged. You know, that whole chronological versus spiritual age. I know young guys who are 20, they're burned out and old. I met people when I was 20 who were very old. They had things that had gone bad for them, whatever. I'm not knocking them. Things go bad, or they use drugs, and it just killed their soul, and they were very old men at 25. I've been very lucky so far, and I'm a very young man inside. Of course, you know, after many a summer dies the swan, as they say. So I feel it's very important to get the record straight, because the record about me is very crooked. If you go on Wikipedia, it's filled with half-truths and lies by people who hate me. It's a terrible site, Wikipedia, because idiots can make stuff up and put it on the site. So it's not reliable. So where are you going to go for information about me? You have to go to me. So concurrent with the movie, I'm going to do an autobiography, and I'm going to try to release them at the same time. And that's the thing. But there's much more to it than me. It's not just about me. It's about me in the world and what I see coming and what must be done in order for America to survive. That's really what we're talking about. In other words, it was just about me. It'd be an interesting movie, and my listeners would like it anyway. But it's really about the plight of America, how I think we got here, and how we can get out of here, and what needs to be done. Isn't that what the show is all about? KNEW, Forrest, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. I would like to talk about your movie and how we are totally supportive of it, and how I believe that that you are the greatness of the past and of the present and of the future. And this entire year, I've been thinking about how it's the 50th anniversary of the 1950s and all the greatness that all our forefathers had to go through back during the Great Depression and World War II, and how they saved this planet. And I believe that by you showing a future that is preserved, that has conservative values, that has America as a sovereign nation, I think it'll be an awesome way of almost having like a prayer for this nation. Because our thoughts.
That's very, very beautiful, Forrest. Thank you for the kind commentary. Well, you know, you hear about global warming. Now, as I've said to you, there is global warming, but it's not man-induced. It's not anthropogenic. There's a slight uptick of about a half a degree, you know, so they're ready to turn it into a catastrophe. Now, I was at a dinner last night with very educated people, and they were open-minded. But when I said, and they were in the sciences, I said, are you aware of the fact that global warming is very controversial? And frankly, they said no. I said, that's because the newspapers won't report on it. I said, are you aware of the fact that although there's some evidence of thinning of ice in the Arctic, do you know that the pack ice in the Antarctic is greater? The amount of ice in the Antarctic right now is greater than ever recorded. She said, no. Nobody knows these things. And then the issue of the polar bears. I said, do you know how many polar bears have actually died? Four. Al Gore distorted the reality in his fake documentary and said the polar bears are dying. So the hysterical liberals are screaming the polar bears are slipping through the ice and dying. Are you aware of the fact that in 1950 there were about 500 polar bears left, and right now the polar bear population is 25,000? No. Nobody knows the facts. Now, you got to understand, before I take the break, I am not a climatologist, but, you know, let's not get too far afield. I have an earned PhD and two earned master's degrees, one of which is in the botanical field. And I got news for you. Botany is intimately connected with climate. So I know an awful lot about climate in the sense that I know an awful lot about plants. And I will tell you that I'm going to introduce in this movie an awful lot about the fake hype about global warming and how Al Gore is not a scientist but a hypester. I'll be right back. Savage. Who cares? The debate. Okay, we'll watch it together. That's all. What do you expect to come out of this debate? Nothing. How many years ahead will they do the next election? You know, after 2008, we elect the next president. Maybe they ought to start the debate in January of that year for the next four-year cycle. That should drive up ratings on the cable channels. I have more listeners in the average quarter hour than they do, by the way. I'm shocked. I was stunned. I really was. So you say, well, why aren't you talking about something serious? Ask me a question. I'll tell you no lies. That's all. I'm not going to generate it right now because I don't really want to. You do it. Jamie, San Diego, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to give some suggestions for your movie. I think it's great you're talking about it again. But I tell you, the funniest things I read in your books and when you talk on the radio is when you're telling a story about how some liberal in the Bay Area there is frustrating the heck out of you. The guys in the kayaks while you're driving around in your boat in the high wake, hiding down between the wake. I remember a story about a lady at a sort of a smorgasbord kind of buffet line. I could feel it. I mean, I've been there so many times myself, just getting frustrated behind someone who's clueless about.
Oh, one of those on the buffet line who doesn't move along but starts having a chat with the guy behind the glass.
Exactly. I was cracking up when I read that because that's happened to me before. And you know.
Yeah. No, maybe we could have the film crew come in to take me through a buffet. That should be a kick. Or a little car ride through Marin County over the Highway 101 with the right lane cutter offers Prius drivers. That would be cute. Kayakers are on the bay are the biggest pests of all. They're like they're just pests beyond belief. They don't have any whip antennas. You can run them over by accident. It's a nightmare. I don't know what they think they're made of, but even if you're a sensitive boater as I am, sometimes you can't see them, but they assume you should see them because they're so perfect. They're such Puritans. They're so clean and such good environmentalists that you must see them. And if you shouldn't, well, that's your fault that you killed them. That's what they want. They're martyrs, in other words, for the environment. Give me a break. Okay, the debate. When I come back, be here.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
She should go after her opponents, not only to aggressively defend herself.
We don't want to
really
hear the feed. I'll do the feed. Shut off the CNN feed, would you please? We're watching the unreality show called The Democrat Debates. I feel as though I'm living in the ex-Soviet Union where they had show trials. This is a show debate. It's embarrassing, to say the least, to see people who are basically middle class and fundamentally very, very distasteful in appearance, getting up there and acting like rock stars. You've got idiots like Dodd, who has no chance, Kucinich, who looks like a mockery of himself. What is he doing there? What is Dodd doing there? What is Biden doing there? Egomaniacs. And that's what actors have in common with politicians. We're way past needing actors or politicians. We need Americans and patriots running for office. And that's the problem in a nutshell. So if you want me to comment on this unreality show with this puppet called Blitzer, a member of the government media complex who's going to ask stooge questions and not let anything real happen, I'll do it for a while. Then I'm going to go to a couple of – I did an interview today that's much better than this with Selwyn Duke. But we'll do it for a while. There's nothing that's going to come up tonight that's of any interest whatsoever. Nothing. Turn up Blitzer for a minute. Let me hear him.
Thanks to all of you. The debate tonight will be in two halves.
Hold it. Now, what's the applause for every 2 minutes? Why are they applauding? What are the schmucks sitting there clapping over? This is not like England where you have a parliamentary debate that really means something. Have you ever watched the debates on C-SPAN of real debates where they actually give each other a question and try to make the other guy stumble? That's what you call a debate. There's nobody in that audience with more than a 90 IQ, I can guarantee you. But okay, well, listen, and there they are, another one, another. Go back to Blitzer. Let's hear it.
If they lose track, I'll gently try to remind them.
All right,
them.
Go ahead already. Stop wasting our time. We know how fair-minded you are, Wolfie.
Then we'll try to spend the next 6 or 7 minutes following
you hear
up
this?
On that specific.
Do you hear this? This is not a debate. It's an unreality show. I'm getting mad by this, madder by the second. If this keeps up, I'm going to talk about elk jerky.
We hope. In the process to get a real conversation going on important.
Ah, shut up. You wouldn't know a real conversation if you tripped over one.
This. Candidates must stay on the topic of the original.
I can't believe it. He's burning up time over nothing. Shut up. Ask something, idiot. Nobody's here for you, Blitzer. See, I'm mad already. I blew it already. Well, we're all so dumb, Wolf. Explain to us in detail what you're going to do again, will you please? I missed that.
Campbell Brown. Campbell.
Who's she?
Senator Clinton, recently in an interview on CNN, you said of the last debate that you weren't at your best that day. You stumbled on an important question involving illegal immigration. But your opponents are saying that that's really part of a larger pattern with you, that you often avoid taking firm positions on controversial issues. And one of your opponents on the stage calls this
Bill took firm positions with interns.
How do you respond to that?
Well, Campbell, I am happy to be here tonight, and this pantsuit, it's asbestos tonight. Aware that some people say but I think that the American people know where I've stood for 35 years. I've been fighting for issues affecting women, children,
she's blowing it.
Workers and families.
She's melting down.
For universal health care.
She's melting down in front of the camera. She's finished.
Campaign and
she won't answer
us,
it.
And I put forth very specific policies about what I will do as president, because this has to be a big election.
She won't answer
this
the question on illegal immigration.
One of the most
look,
important elections we've ever had in our.
You hear this
history.
Double talk? She's
and
finished. I'm telling you, if she doesn't pull out of this nosedive now, her campaign's over.
Who is ready to lead from day one? And
double
I'm
talk.
Perfectly comfortable leaving these assessments up to the American people to make their judgments among us.
She didn't answer it. Did you see? Hold on. She did not answer the question that the woman asked her. She did exactly what she's being accused of, which is being a fraud and a liar. Go back to Blitzer.
Textbook Washington campaign, you've suggested that. I want you to explain, if you don't mind, Senator, what do you mean by that?
Well, first of all, I'm
Really happy to be here in Nevada, and I appreciate
Stop again. Why do you have to tell us you're happy to be here in Nevada? Why? Why are we hearing this rubbish from this? I'm getting mad. I don't think I could take much of this. This is why I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do this because I knew it would be a phony show. These people remind me of the creeps in school who ran for the GO. I never liked those people. They're the same vermin who are running for office, and I can't take it anymore. There's not a real person up there. She didn't answer one question. She started in with the double talking and the oh my gosh, and how wonderful she is in my track record. Her track record is abysmal. It's horrendous. I don't want 16 years of Bill and Hillary Clinton. Obama is a left-winger, anti-American, so forget about him. So tell me who up there who could save this country from the Islamo-fascists, from the liars in the global warming con movement. Who is going to save us from the taxation maniacs? Tell me. Tell me who's going to save us from the homosexual mafia. Any one of these meet that candidacy? No. Go back to him. Go ahead.
Part of the reason is because they don't feel that Washington is listening to them. And what I want to do in this campaign...
You hear this? Stop again. They don't feel Washington is listening to them. He's telling us what we're supposed, the little people feel. Go ahead, go back, go ahead, play it again.
Listening to the American people to get things done.
Senator Clinton, you
right.
respond.
You've said nothing,
well,
in other words.
I hear what Senator Obama is saying.
I hear you.
And he talks a lot about stepping up and taking responsibility and taking strong positions. But when it came time to step up and decide whether or not he would support universal health care coverage,
oh, please, I can't. I swear to God, I can't take this. See, I knew it was going to be a Wolf Blitzer special with rubbish from the beginning. Rubbish in, rubbish out. Garbage in, garbage out. Here come the clowns. Everything you heard about politics, here it is. Turn it around. I can't listen to that woman. I can't hear her. Her campaign is over tonight. She was asked a straight-up question. You mark it down what I said. She was asked a straight-up question by Campbell Brown. Straight up on illegal immigration, and she gave the same old stump speech double talk that she would have given at a cake sale 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago, 1 day ago. She did not answer the question. And if it's only going to be about them, meaning the people up there, they're finished. Nobody wants this. Turn it up again. Now the Stooges clap.
The fact of the matter is that I do provide universal health care. The only difference between...
Turn it off. I don't care about health care. I don't care about universal health care. I don't want socialized medicine. It's a horrible system. Go to Cuba if you want to see what universal medicine will give you. Go. You want to see what universal health care gives you? Go to Cuba, where the doctors have dirty smocks and no medication. You want universal health care? Go to Canada, where you have to wait 6 months for a doctor, for a specialist. That's what they mean by universal health care. It's a code word for socialized medicine, a disaster wherever it's been tried. Now, if you like the Soviet Union's medical system, where everyone had access to medical care and no one actually got medical care, that's what they're talking about. And that's why I'm going to take a diversion now. I'm not going to do this because I don't want to get angry. I'm not going to do it. Earlier today, I spoke with one of my favorite people, Selwyn Duke, on a very important topic. I'm going to play that interview when I come back, and then maybe, just maybe, I'll come back to the unreality show called the puppet show here. The one good thing is they showed her from a low shot, and she looks like Ann Lewis in her asbestos suit. She packed on about 30 pounds from all this flying and eating. And that was the only good part so far. I'll be back.
Savage.
Savage Nation has discovered a story from Maryland. It seems the police there have found disturbing trends among some in the Hispanic population. Now, of course, the leftists are screaming racial profiling, discrimination, as they did with the Muslims in L.A. Our good friend Selwyn Duke has weighed in on the issue in his new article, Stereotyping 101. He's on the line right now. Welcome back, Selwyn.
Hello, Michael. Great to be with you again. A racial profiling lawsuit has been filed against the Maryland State Police, and a plaintiff's attorney named Eliza Layton said that some training documents contain startling examples of racial stereotypes about Hispanics. Now, just so you know, when leftists use the word startling, it usually means, man, this truth hurts. But here are some examples of this profiling information. The documents state that Hispanic males are raised to be macho and brave, while females are raised to be subservient, that Hispanics don't hold their alcohol well and often drink too much, which leads to fights. They also state that Hispanics' weapon of choice is a knife and that they're reluctant to learn English. Now, regardless of the outcome of this lawsuit, Michael, You can bet your bottom dollar that this information will be purged from the training documents. But, as I said about Dr. James Watson's comments regarding Africans, intelligence, and genetics, this is part of a very distressing pattern. Everyone fixates on the fact that such comments constitute generalizations about groups that are supposed to be immune from such things, as if this is an offense in and of itself.
But Selwyn, no one seems to ask the only relevant question, are these generalizations true or not?
Well, Michael, leftists would say that no generalization is valid because not every member of the given group will conform to a generalization, because intelligent people understand that legitimate generalizations are statements about a group's general characteristics, not individual specific ones. For example, if I say that men are taller than women, I don't mean that every man towers over every woman. Nevertheless, it's an accurate relation of a general difference between the groups. This brings us to an important point, Michael. While we must judge everyone as an individual, we must also judge every individual group as an individual group, because there are differences within groups, but also differences among them. It makes no more sense to paint every group with the same brush than it does to paint every individual with the same brush. Oh, and my response to those who cannot or will not accept this is that if they can't understand commentary for adults, they shouldn't listen to it. Besides, not all generalizations can be invalid simply because the statement that all generalizations are invalid is itself a generalization. In reality, Michael, implicit in leftist ideology is agreement with this belief. Think about it. Modern dogma holds that diversity is one of the greatest qualities a society can enjoy, that it bestows many advantages. But what does this imply? Well, by definition, diversity refers to differences among groups. Now, not only is it illogical to assume that every one of these differences will be flattering, the assumption that diversity is beneficial implies otherwise. After all, if diversity is beneficial, it's only because certain groups bring qualities or strengths to the table that others don't. And if a given group possesses a certain unique strength, then other groups are lacking in that area relative to it. Any which way you slice it, this is a corollary of diversity dogma. So, ironically, despite the fact that the diversity dogmatists despise stereotyping, a version of it imbues their ideology. So it's not that they don't have biases relating to generalizations. It's only that their understanding of group differences is clumsy and primitive, sort of like Archie Bunker, but with advanced degrees, the illusion of intellectualism, and the inability to be honest with themselves and others.
But I mean, let's be honest now. The reason most stereotypes arise in the first place is because there seems to be a basis in reality in most cases.
Well, Michael, of course, that's true. For example, it was always said that Irishmen like to drink. Now, again, intelligent people know this doesn't mean that every Irishman is a drunkard, but informed people might know something else. Ireland ranks number 2 in the world in per capita alcohol consumption next to Luxembourg. As for Luxembourg, I guess that both people who live there can really tie one on. Michael, another difference among groups is that some are more patriarchal than others. We know that Muslim societies are quite so, as women are usually afforded fewer legal rights. But in light of this, let's now analyze the Maryland State Police's statements that Hispanic males are raised to be macho and brave, while females are raised to be subservient. Since some groups are more patriarchal than others, this can be true. And I venture to say that anyone who has had great contact with Hispanic people and possesses eyes and common sense will know it's true. As to this, Raul Caetano, Catherine Clark, and Tammy Tam, three PhDs who received a government grant to study common sense, implicitly vindicate two of the Maryland State Police's assertions. They write in their paper, Alcohol Consumption Among Racial Ethnic Minorities, quote, "One traditional explanation for heavy drinking patterns among Hispanic men, particularly Mexican Americans, is the concept of exaggerated machismo," unquote. Now, although these researchers didn't accept or reject this explanation, they didn't question the assumptions that Hispanic men drink too much and are macho.
So why are the Maryland State Police probably going to have to pay money for saying what these academics got money to say?
Well, as you know, Michael, it's because it neither serves the left's agenda to sue a few eggheads, nor can cash be extracted from them. Besides, there's another factor. If a truth hurts, since you can't destroy the truth, you destroy the truth teller. And here's another truth. I have only one thing to say about the idea that Hispanics are reluctant to learn English. I've never been asked if I wanted to press 2 for German. But, Michael, stereotypes aren't just woven into flawed leftist ideology and million-dollar research substitutes for common sense, but also entertainment. Just think about all the times that whites are characterized as nerdy, lacking rhythm, or liking mayonnaise. Just watch the movie Undercover Brother or Weird Al Yankovic's music video, White and Nerdy. Yet, 10 years ago, golfer Fuzzy Zeller was practically clubbed to death for quipping that Tiger Woods shouldn't request fried chicken or collard greens after Woods won the 1997 Masters tournament. I'll say, though, I was startled myself, Michael. I mean, since Woods' mother hails from Thailand, I would have thrown in fat kapow. Seriously, though, or almost seriously, if whites can be smeared with mayonnaise, other groups can be coddled with their cuisines.
Now, this isn't to say that every stereotype or generalization or what's known as a profile in law enforcement is completely accurate.
No, clearly not, Michael. But if one is found lacking, it simply warrants the alteration of its flawed elements, not the throwing out of the baby with the bathwater. If it indicates greater ability, it should be applauded. And if the difference is damning, remedy should be sought. But, Michael, and I know you agree with this, this standard won't be embraced until we accept what's perhaps the most valid generalization of all. The leftist thought police are a menace to civilization and free speech. They're turning us into an ideological state, a place where ideology isn't rejected when it departs from truth, but truth is rejected when it departs from ideology. As for a remedy, the best antidote to political correctness is its opposite. We don't have to speak and joke and talk and think in a way that pleases those who prove that infantilism doesn't always peak in infancy. Instead, we should stand up for truth, be it in the form of a wit, policy, or a paradigm, and those who speak it. If we all did this and startled those thought police enough, we just might be rid of them after all. That is, if they actually do have hearts.
Well, if they have hearts, Selwyn Duke. Thanks for joining us, Selwyn. Always a pleasure.
Michael, thank you for having me on the show, and God bless you and your audience.
Savage.
A lot of people in this room, no doubt, are very concerned about the quality of education that their children
will have.
Let's stop
right here, okay? They just went through a yes or no on illegal drivers for illegals, and they heard all of the rubbish that you'd expect from Democrats. Some of them wouldn't answer the question. Some did answer the question. Obama is for driver's licenses for illegal aliens. Kucinich is for making citizens illegal and illegal aliens legal. Hillary clearly said no, she's not for driver's licenses for illegals. And the designated Hispanic Richardson, who was about as Hispanic as I am, I would guess, gave no answer other than yes, he did it when he was governor. To me, this is the issue of our day. As well as whether or not we should bomb Iran's nuclear reactors or centrifuges, whichever way you want it. And those are the only questions that matter to me at this point. I'm not interested in any of the other soft questions. And so let's go back to now a soft question, pay for teachers. Like, I care. Go ahead.
Not the way to be judging. It is not. Is it? I hear. And this is a... And this is critical. I always say this is the single...
Turn it off. You see that? It's all critical, but they don't answer a question. So here's good news. Here's the only good news of the day. Just came off the wires, Fort Worth, Texas. Priest admits to having sex with inmates. You say that's good news? Yes, they were women. That's the good news. I mean, this is a plus. It's a step up. Go back to the debates.
Far more cooperation at the national level. We spend less than 5% of the national budget on elementary and secondary education. That is
Oh, God, turn it off. I'm not going to. I can't. In an age of terror, in an age of no border security, in an age of $5 a gallon gasoline, they're talking about education again. It's such a Democrat playbook. Medicare, Medicaid, the environment. Medicare, Medicaid, the environment. And now throw in a little education. Medicare, Medicaid, mammogram. Why don't they just ask them if they're from mammograms? Are you for or against mammograms, Mr. Richardson? How do you feel about mammograms? Well, I'd like to give them, but no, that's not it. I'd like to know, are you for it or against it? Worthless. This is not a debate. A debate is the English parliamentary system where one faces the other and they actually ask questions. There's no cheering. There's no audience of stooges with a certain number of whites and blacks and Hispanics and women and men. It's absurd. It's an embarrassment to be an American tonight, particularly with a host like Wolf Blitzer, the most unreliable of all of them. They pick him to debate it. Turn on Blitzer now.
Teachers' unions, or other unions for that matter, with which you disagree.
My father was a truck driver.
Oh, no, with the homespun truck driver.
Of the IATSA.
I turn off Kucinich. I hate this man. I think he should be deported. Priest admits having sex with inmates. A Roman Catholic priest who worked as a chaplain at a women's federal prison pled guilty Wednesday to sexual abuse by having sex with two inmates. I figured the next we're going to read. Vincent Inametti, 48, 10 years in prison, two counts of war. Remains free. Authorities received a complaint this year that Inametti was having sex with one inmate at Federal Medical Center Cosmo. Investigation really was involved with two women. Oh, I breathed easy when I read that. Both women were serving federal sentences for drug distribution, conspiracy convictions. My suspicion is that it was another woman who was jealous who ratted out the priest. That's all I can say. But at least it wasn't with boys. I mean, I'm saying that's the good news. It's certainly better than listening to Dennis Kucinich. This man is a maniac. A maniac. He believes in UFOs. He's a crazy man. Do you understand that the Democrats are destroying themselves even having him on the platform? You know, this is the problem. I'm not a Democrat at all. I'm not for any of them. I would never vote for any of them under any circumstance. However, when are they going to stop putting men on who cannot be president? What good does this serve the nation to listen to a far-left whack job like him, the roadrunner Bill Richardson, who I called him in the political zoo? Or Dodd, a real chance he has. My dog would get more votes than Chris Dodd. Now, tonight, I will tell you, though, I was surprised, pleasantly surprised, that Biden made such a comment, that, as he did, a very good comment. He's on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He actually made a dignified statement, and that's worth, you know, talking about. But Hillary is a sham. Edwards is an ambulance chaser who made his fortune by ginning up stories against doctors and hospitals, blaming them for congenital defects that were caused by, frankly, by genetics. And he's a disgrace. Of all of them, I actually despise him more than I do Kucinich. Edwards actually makes me sick. Kucinich makes me angry for being up there, but Edwards is a disgrace. He's an ambulance chaser, posing as the new JFK. I don't know how anyone could go for this guy. Go back. Let's listen to them. Here we go.
National service for this country. Those are the kind of creative solutions.
Why the cheering every minute? It's distracting.
Issue of merit pay. If there's a teacher out there who's
I'm getting a migraine now. I don't know if I could take this.
For doing a great job. That individual.
Let me go to a caller. Turn off Blitzer. Turn him off. The only one who could find him attractive would be his mother. Tom in Sacramento. Welcome to the Savage. Does Blitz have a mother? You don't think he has a mother? What? Tom, go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I'm just curious what you think about Kucinich and Giuliani and also Thompson. They all got trophy wives.
I cannot believe that Kucinich would have a beautiful wife. It's shocking to me. But, you know, a lot of liberal women are very weak of mind. And so I could see that happening. You know, let's face it, the circles he runs in, what do good looks really mean? It's like, what is she inside? And I think what she is inside is what he looks like on the outside.
I think
she's a soulmate, you know what I mean? Mentally.
How do you think the public's going to react to Giuliani being married so many times? I mean,
not well at all. It doesn't play west of the Hudson River. It plays very well at the Waldorf Astoria when you're wearing a dress and doing a drag show. No, it won't play very well. Giuliani does not have a very good prospect. He's too much of a big city liberal mayor. Turn on Hillary. She's always good for a laugh.
Object to with the Bush administration is that it's always talking
it.
Down.
See, everything they ask her, Bush administration. That's not working either. Put her back on.
All right.
Helping us figure out what the best way is to achieve
the next,
our goals.
Next
see, they taught it. Her strategy is deflect everything and say Bush bad, Bush bad, Bush bad. Okay, we got that message already. Now tell us what you'll do. We already know what you'll do. You were in president, the president's for 8 years, we're in the office. We had the Clintons for 8 years. There are term limits. We don't want them again. We don't want the co-presidency all over again. We know what they did to this country. Now turn back to Biden.
She earned the ability to be able to demonstrate to everyone that she was an exceptional teacher because she went out and she gathered this additional knowledge.
Oh, now we'll hear about social workers.
Teacher. Here's the problem.
How about a yoga instructor? You're going to get money for yoga?
Who makes the decision?
Okay, turn it off. I'm sorry. They've left me. I can't deal with this anymore. They are hopelessly out of touch with reality. Not only are they out of touch with the American people, this group, they're hopelessly out of touch with reality itself, and I stand by those words. 1-800-449-8255. I'll talk about any topic except this debate. I can't take it. Priest having sex with inmates. Do you think it's good that he was with women as opposed to boys? Don't call me on that one. We can't do it. There's no other news to talk about. The fact of the matter is that if you think the government did a good job with Homeland Security, if you think that the government did a good job with Katrina, just wait until they get their hands on health care. How could you want the government to control health care when you could see that they can't even manage a natural disaster? What can they manage right? What does the government manage correctly? Tell me what they've managed correctly. Then I'll answer whether you – then you can maybe try to convince me that they manage health care correctly. All right, go back to the debate.
Yep. A question on Pakistan. As you know, in the past few weeks, leader Pervez Musharraf has declared a state of emergency.
Watch, he's going to come out for the woman. Watch.
Several Supreme
Bhutto.
Court justices.
Watch.
He's recently placed opposition leader Benazir Bhutto under house arrest now and imprisoned numerous other dissenters.
Woman,
and I know
victim.
You spoke with Musharraf last week. And you, along with several others on this stage, assert that the U.S. Should maintain its current level of financial support for Pakistan.
Correct.
And
correct.
My question is it correct. Your view that there are times when the security of the United States is more important than the way a key ally like Musharraf disregards freedom and disregards democracy?
First of all, I do not think we should maintain the same aid we're given. I have made it clear to Musharraf personally when he called me, and I've spoken personally to Bhutto. Before, I might add, the president spoke to either one of them. I spoke to them, and I indicated very clearly. If he did not take off his uniform, if he did not hold fair and free
Let's stop right here. What's with the uniform? What is his uniform? What has his uniform got to do with anything? What the heck is wrong with these psychos? What do you mean take off his uniform? What's the difference whether he wears it or not? Maybe you ought to put one on, Biden, is what I like to say. Maybe you ought to put a uniform on and go to Iraq. You're such an expert on Pakistan. Go put one on. Go ahead. Go back to these creeps.
From a Musharraf policy to a Pakistan policy. Unlike anyone else, within 5 days of this happening, I laid out a detailed plan. The president hasn't. No one on this stage has. No one else has. A detailed plan as president, how I would proceed with Iraq. And you have to move from military aid to giving the middle class there. The middle class is overwhelmingly the majority. They get no connection with the United States. We have to significantly increase our economic aid.
I give up.
Education.
This is a staged debate. It's of no value and no interest to me whatsoever. Should I stay with the debates or break away from them? Yes or no? Indianapolis, David, your opinion, please. What do you want me to do here?
I think these debates are useless.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a pretty yes or no answer. You're saying they're useless, and I agree with you.
Very useless.
Okay, thank you. What would you like me to do instead? Family stories? Trun's Meat Factory? I'd rather talk about one-armed Frank's pyorrhea than listen to Wolf Blitzer. I would rather be in a car with one-armed Frank than be in a car with Hillary Clinton. I would, if I had a choice of listening to Hillary Clinton or getting gassed from one-armed Frank's pyorrhea, I'll take the latter. I can't take this anymore. Turn it back up. Let's see if I can take one more second.
Taliban presence and Al-Qaeda presence. Are you worried at all that as bad as President Musharraf might be, it could get a whole lot worse over there?
No, she's a woman. She's a woman.
What happened with our Pakistan policy, we got our principles wrong. We forgot our principles.
Oh, my God.
We said to Musharraf.
Turn this drunk off, will you? Turn this bumbling drunk off my show. This man, the former governor of New Mexico, Richardson, pardon me. If you remember what happened, do you remember the Los Alamos nuclear laboratory? Do you remember what happened while he was governor? Do you remember the secrets being stolen? Do you remember the fire outside the Los Alamos laboratory that was conveniently set while the investigation was ongoing into the stealing of the secrets? It was all under his watch. Now, why is that not brought up? Answer, because he can't answer the question, and it might embarrass him. So as I say to you, what is the point of a debate if you're not going to really dig down deep into their political past and hit them where it really hurts, which is with the truth? All right? You want to listen to the Richardson, the Roadrunner? Turn it back up. Go ahead.
Assistance. But here's another point. No, but here's another point. In Pakistan, in the politics of Pakistan, Islamic parties get maybe 15% of the vote. I mean, so this threat that, revolutionary elements are going to overtake him, if he has a fair election, and you take his party and Benazir Bhutto's party, and you get the military, but I believe that moderate forces can win. So
when you turn it off, he has no idea what he's talking about. None whatsoever. He believes. Let's take a chance on Pakistan. Let's let him have free and open elections, and, well, maybe Osama will win, maybe he won't. What the heck? It's only nuclear weapons we're dealing with here. And you know we can trust Islamists. They're our best friends. Could you believe what you're looking at here, the naked face of idiocy? The naked face of idiocy on a level I never expected to see in my lifetime. Go ahead, turn Blitzer up.
We need to find ways to say to the world that, you know, it's not just about what Halliburton wants in Iraq.
Oh, again, Halliburton. Why don't you just talk about locks?
Equality.
Why don't you talk about the best way to smoke a salmon?
It's not just military.
Maybe Blitzer can tell us the best way to smoke a salmon. Hold it, I got an idea. There's an important debate question for Democrats. When you become president, which style of smoking salmon would you prefer? The open smoke method or the closed smoke method? Ms. Clinton, you go first. I mean, that would be as important as asking Richardson, Governor Richardson, about Pakistan. And here comes the ambulance chaser. Put him on.
Senator Biden just spoke about to make sure these elections take place in January. And fourth, we need to make certain that the nuclear weapons are under control.
Now, that's easy.
This leads to a bigger question. I think Pakistan is the living, breathing example that America's ad hoc policy of dealing with the spread of nuclear weapons, while it's absolutely required in today's world, given what's happening with Iran, given
turn
what
him off.
See,
his solution is to sue anybody who uses a nuclear weapon. His idea would be is that after the nuclear weapon goes off, he'll make sure that he can sue everybody in sight and collect a lot of money for you. I can't take it. I'm finished with them. Greg, KNEW, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, the only points being made around there are on their heads.
No, it's it's actually making me very edgy to realize that they're as bad as they look.
I'd rather hear about one-armed Frank than these morons any day.
Wouldn't you? Did you have any faith in the ambulance chaser, the Bartlett pair, or any of them? Do you have any faith in any of these people?
None,
thank you. So, WTNT, Kim, go ahead, please. Your opinion counts.
Hey, Mike. Hi, how are you? I want you to stay with the debates. Don't want you to give up on them. We really enjoy your comments. It's like watching Mystery Sci-Fi 3000 when they have a movie and everybody sits and makes a lot of fun of it.
Okay, good. Okay, let's go back for a second or two now. Who's up next?
Our battle against extremists. The more we see repression, the more there are no outlets for how people can express themselves and their
aspirations. So give them the vote, right, Obama? That's the answer. Democracy rules. Turn them off. Democracy rules. Give them the vote like we did in the Gaza Strip. Just give them the old vote like you did the Germans in the 1930s and you got Hitler. Just give them the old vote, Obama, or the playbook from the wards of Chicago. You know, he's one of the most corrupt politicians in the Chicago area. You think he's a fresh face, don't you? Go read the history of Obama. And you'll see how he maintained his power as a congressman, where he came from, and what political games he's been playing. He is a corrupt ward politician who rose up to the level of Congress, and now he's actually pretending he can be president. He has no chance whatsoever of winning. He plays less outside Chicago than Giuliani does out of New York. I'll be right back.
In this war, when this money should be used in America for health care, education, and for kids.
And how about the polar bears? You left that out. That money should be used to save the polar bears, too.
Right now, is the troop increase, as General Petraeus has put forward over these past few months?
No, I can't. You know, here's the thing. That there's good news to these debates. The more we see them, the less we like them. And the funny part here is the more they talk, the more they think you're going to like them. The reason they run these debates on both sides, Republican and Democrat, for 2 years ahead of the election, now it's down to a year and a half, admittedly, is they're so egomaniacal and so out of touch with reality, they love themselves. They're narcissists, like actors. They think that the more you see them, the more you will like them. The exact opposite is true. The more we see them, the less we like them, and the more we realize what trouble we are in. We need a third-party candidate who is not part of this machine of losers. And God only knows where that person is going to come from. But the more we see them, the less we like them. And the more they expose themselves, the more they think that you like them. And that's because they're used to closed groups, staged questions, bake sales with kind of foolish people who will be starstruck by their appearance. They don't understand how they're coming across. Now, there have been some questions that have not been asked that are really important. And that is, Hillary, why has your campaign taken cash from the people that Bill pardoned? It's on my website. Hillary, I realize you're against driver's licenses for illegals. How about deporting them, as starting with the 30% of our prison population who are here illegally? Would you deport the prisoners who are here illegally to start with? That would be a more important question than the driver's license question, which is idiotic in a way. Are you for or against mapping Muslims in Los Angeles as the LAPD wanted to do? Well, you know, all of them would have said that it's racial profiling. We're against it. They say, well, how then would you prevent the next terror attack? See, now that's a real question. We can go down the list. Are you for or against protecting the Boy Scouts from the predatory homosexual mafia who have come against them? Are you for or against homeschooling? How would you protect Christians in this country from persecution? How would you prevent the Chinese spies from stealing more of our technology? How would you protect the American dollar? How would you slow gasoline prices from their insane rise? Would you break up the oil companies? Would you bust the trusts as Teddy Roosevelt did at the turn of the last century? As you want me to ask questions that the old Wolfie wouldn't ask because he's part of the the media government complex, or the government media complex as I defined it in 1998 when I gave the most famous speech in the Commonwealth's history, modern history. Well, these are some of the questions. How about sedition in the media? Do you believe that sedition within the leftist media is a threat to our security? Yes or no, and how would you fix it? This is the Savage Nation. Go on to michaelsavage.com for the stories.
Savage.